Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I don't know what you thought when you saw the Pac-12 schedule, but I'm dying to know what John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News thought, and he's joining us now. Wilner, why do we care so much about the schedule coming out, first of all? Why?
I think in the big picture, it's because it provides some kind of sense of normalcy, right? This is what, you know, it's not a six-game schedule or whatever. It's a sign, albeit a little late, but it's a sign that, you know, college football is got a chance to be played in traditional form in 6 months, and I think that's kind of reassuring to people.
Yeah, I was glad that there was a schedule, you know? Like, we saw a couple of schedules last year, and then they all got, you know, kind of jimmy-rigged around, but we're getting a schedule. So where do your eyes go first as the release comes out, or as the news comes out?
Well, you know, the first thing I do is I look at the grid to see if they've, you know, basically put anybody in an untenable position. And you wouldn't think that that's something that I would have to look at, but because it's happened in the past, it's probably, you know, you gotta check with the Pac-12. You never know. I think they did overall a real good job. There's a couple of spots where you could say, boy, that's a competitive disadvantage for a team. But overall, I think it's very fair. I don't think it puts the teams that, you know, are kind of the presumptive front runners. I don't think it puts any of them necessarily in a terrible spot. You could argue Washington has a problem, but generally speaking, I think they did a good job. And the other thing is, it just stands out like, you know, one of those cartoon thumbs that Bugs Bunny whacks with a hammer. September 11th is a momentous day for the conference.
Yeah, you have the big games. You've got Oregon with Ohio State, Washington, Michigan. Certainly, as you go around the rest of the conference, Colorado's playing Texas A&M. And you've got
TCU.
Yeah, BYU, Utah.
Yep. Tons of huge games that will basically set the narrative. I mean, if the Pac-12, if the Ducks and Huskies and Colorado will all get beat badly, you know, that will be it for the Pac-12 for the rest of the season. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. If you cannot compete at the highest level, you're in big trouble for the postseason. So that's a huge week.
I keep coming back, and I wonder if we put too much emphasis on that. Let me play devil's advocate. Let's say Oregon loses by 14 to Ohio State, but through the subsequent rest of the season, runs the table, looks really improved and dynamic at the end of the year. Do you think they're in the conversation for the playoff with one loss to Ohio State on the road in week two?
I think what happens is the path gets much more narrow. You know, the margin for error just plunges, and they need more help, right? That would be the big thing. How would Ohio State do in the Big Ten? You know, how many other one-loss teams would there be? There's no way in that situation that Oregon would get in ahead of a one-loss team. They would just need a whole bunch of help. So it's hard to be completely eliminated from the playoff early on, but you can certainly squeeze your options, and I think that's what would happen.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, is with us. I'm looking at Washington, USC, and Oregon in particular, and let's start with USC. Clay Helton, you know, there are a lot of questions about him, whether or not he's doing the right thing, running the right offense. What do you see when you look at USC's schedule that tells you USC could have a really nice season in front of them?
Well, USC is one of the teams that has been, you know, in recent years has had odd schedules, you know, either where the bye fell or, you know, road games on Fridays, that kind of thing. I think this is the fairest, most manageable schedule USC has had in a long time. There are no Thursday or Friday games. The bye's in the middle, smack in the middle, before their trip to South Bend. So they're not going to South Bend, you know, exhausted from playing somebody where Notre Dame's sitting there nice and fresh. SC's got a week, a bye before that Notre Dame game, which is a huge game for the Pac-12. You know, they have BYU at the end, so they're not finishing, you know, not going to have 2 weeks off before the Pac-12 championship game. They don't have, you know, there's none of those Friday night games like they had in Pullman. So I think it's very fair for SC. And certainly there's no evidence right now that, the Trojans will be able to look at the schedule and say, well, you know, we kind of got hosed. That's the reason we're not winning the division.
When I look at, you know, that Notre Dame game with them, you mentioned the in your piece that they get the bye before that game. So does Notre Dame. Do you think that that game factors more in the playoff committee's eyes because it's happening later than week two?
I think it does, especially if Notre Dame's good, right? I mean, if Notre Dame's sitting there as a top 10 team when SC visits, then absolutely that game matters a lot, you know. And Notre Dame, because of the nature of their schedule, they're going to have a lot of, you know, quality comparisons for how USC does against Notre Dame compared to how Notre Dame does against Clemson or, you know, Michigan. That's going to, that really it lends itself to good comparisons for the committee. So if SC goes in there and wins, I mean, that's huge for the Pac-12, whether SC's the champion or not.
Oregon's schedule, they don't have USC, they don't have Arizona State. They get to skip those two teams in the rotation. I think that's favorable. How much do you, what did you think of when you saw Oregon's schedule?
Yeah, I think it is real favorable. Interesting, SC doesn't play Oregon or Washington, and Oregon misses SC and ASU. Those are some big games that aren't going to get played this year, unfortunately. You know, Oregon's the only team that doesn't have back-to-back road games, only team in the conference with that. I think that, you know, November is going to be tricky. Not only who they play and where they play, but kind of that rotation with you know, some potential trap games in there. But I'll tell you what I think the most dangerous game on Oregon's schedule is the first one. Because Fresno was, you know, they're perfectly capable of beating the Pac-12 team. And everything for the next 6 months is going to be at Ohio State. Oregon's going to walk in there with a new quarterback. I think that has got trap written all over it.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News with us. Washington's schedule as well. Washington has a tough stretch in November. Obviously, they go to Michigan. Does it boil down? Is it oversimplifying to say, hey, Washington just needs to get a nice start and have a couple of good weeks in November and they're sitting pretty?
I think so. You know, Washington catches a break in that, you know, there's no SC, and they get most of their toughest games are at home, right? They've got Oregon and ASU both at home in November. It's a huge back-to-back for the Huskies there. So I think Washington, you know, if you're looking at the contenders, Washington's maybe the most favorable, except there's one thing that I think is kind of a competitive disadvantage for the Huskies, which is, you know, they play Arizona and Stanford back-to-back on the road. When they go to Stanford for that second straight road game, Stanford's going to be home off bye. And that in the past has proven, you know, all across the conference to be a pretty significant advantage. If you're playing your second straight road game and the team you're playing has been sitting home for 2 weeks, that's a tough spot for Washington. And Stanford always plays the Huskies well. So that, to me, that's kind of a key game. And then that's right in front of the Oregon game for the Huskies. So I know they're all very happy that the Ducks don't have a bye before Washington. Husky fans, I think, are obsessed about that. But it's still a challenging little stretch there for them.
All right, around the rest of the conference.
I'm sure you hear that, right?
Yes. Why is that, though? Sure. Why is Washington fan bellyache and bitch more than anybody else when the schedule comes out?
Good question. I mean, I think that I don't know exactly what the situation has been every year for the last 15 years about the Oregon's buys. There have been a couple of times, though, that Washington has gotten placed at a competitive disadvantage by the conference. You know, those Friday night road game things. But generally, I don't know. I guess they just, you know, they're tired of getting beat by the Ducks.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group. This conference schedule comes out, and of course, we're talking about the contenders. But what did you see in the rest of the conference? Is there a team here that might be a sleeper? You saw the schedule, maybe you thought, they'll have a nice season. But then you see the schedule come out, and you feel a little more bullish about them.
Well, I mean, I think ASU, I don't know if you consider ASU a sleeper. I think ASU is going to win the South. And their schedule is certainly not one that would, you know, has made me change my opinion of that, right? They don't have Oregon, and, you know, it's pretty manageable. Just the way the games are spaced out, they don't have a real elite non-conference game. I think ASU's got a shot at going, you know, 10-2 or something like that. Utah, I also think, has got a pretty favorable schedule. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the South shakes out. SC's going to have some pretty stiff competition, whereas in the North, I don't know, I kind of feel like it's a two-team race at this point.
Wilner, I'm also seeing BYU on this schedule, and they'll play Arizona, they'll play Arizona State, they'll play you've got a game against Utah. You got a game against USC. Oh, yeah. What is BYU trying to do? Are they trying to get in the conference?
Well, yes, they got. I think there's five games against the Pac-12, and it's a great. I mean, that's a great series for the Pac-12, right? Because BYU, it's certainly not a cupcake. You know, in terms of the selection committee, it's a quality game. Anytime BYU goes to a Pac-12 campus, they're going to draw fans. So it's a good game, and it's a, you know, the travel is not difficult for the Pac-12 teams going to Provo. So, you know, it's a good game. I think the Pac-12 is going to try to schedule 4 or 5 against BYU every year. Cougars would love to get an invitation. That's not going to happen, but it's almost an informal scheduling alliance. And it makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, and I look at it too with. You know, I'm kind of looking at it going, hey, that's an opportunity for the Pac-12 to get a little bit of validation. If BYU is, in fact, playing the kind of at the level that it was playing a year ago with a conversation around it. I mean, the Pac-12 has a chance to get some validation with Arizona State and USC and Utah being teams that I would pick to beat BYU. Like, the Pac-12 should win those games, right?
Should win those games, especially with BYU, right? I mean, their quarterback was sensational, but he's gone. So BYU's got a new QB. I mean, how's Washington State going to do against them? That's maybe a little bit different calculation, but for sure, you know, Utah, USC, ASU, those teams should beat the Cougars. There's no doubt about that.
John Wilner is with us. The search for the next commissioner. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, by the time this college football season ends, it'll be somebody else in charge. It'll be somebody else taking the lead. How much in the Pac-12 headquarters, though, or how frequently or how wide a net does the new commissioner need to set when it comes to cleaning house? Meaning, you know, you got a VP of communications that was Larry Scott's person that he brought in. He made a lot of these hires. Will the new commissioner have to immediately clean house, or will it be a transition that takes, you know, a year, year and a half to get their people in charge?
I am trying to think if there is anybody. I don't know that there's anyone on the senior staff that is a holdover from the previous regime. I think Larry Scott hired just about everybody. My guess is that, you know, as is often the case in these kind of things where you've got a change at the executive level, there's going to be, you know, senior staff turnover. There's no doubt about that. Now, whether that happens, you know, in the first month or two or even before the official changeover, I don't know. I mean, it could take 6-12 months, but I would imagine there's going to be a fair amount of turnover. And the other component to that is, you know, some people are going to make decisions about staying or leaving in the conference office based on where the conference office is going, right? I mean, if the new commissioner comes in and makes it pretty clear early on, you know, we are heading to Phoenix in 2 years or we're going to Vegas, you know, that will probably expedite some personnel turnover, not only at the senior staff level, but probably all the way through. And certainly what they do with the Pac-12 networks will impact a lot of people who are currently working in San Francisco.
John Wilner is with us. You like ASU in the South. Who do you like in the North?
You know, I'm right now, I'm going with the Huskies. I just think they're very similar to Oregon, or they were until Oregon lost the starting quarterback. They're you know, offensive line's veteran, defenses should be good, not sold on receivers, you know, depth at tailback. They seem to be fairly similar. You know, both have got new defensive coordinators, both have got second-year offensive coordinators. There's just a lot. They mirror each other in a lot of regards. They both have a Big Ten road game in week two. But I'm kind of leaning right now a little bit to the Huskies, partly because at least they've got some stability quarterback. They have the Ducks at home in Seattle. I think the offensive line's probably going to be a little bit better. But they're, you know, it's real close. I do think that those two teams at this point are probably a cut above everybody else. And I'm not even sure who I'd pick to finish third. I kind of go back and forth. Sometimes I think maybe Oregon State could jump up there. Cal, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the division shakes out, you know, below the top two.
Am I wrong in that I'm looking at Jimmy Lake and Mario Cristobal and Clay Helton and look, I like those guys as coaches, but I don't yet love them. I've seen them all make mistakes, or maybe there's some uncertainty, certainly at Washington with defense and coordinator and all that. Am I wrong to look at that and go, you know, I got to see it. I don't trust it yet.
No, I think that's valid. I mean, it's certainly valid for Lake, you know, four games, right, as a head coach. And it's certainly valid for Helton because, you know, the guy's in charge of blue blood and hasn't played up to nearly its potential under him. Cristobal, I think, you know, answered some questions with, you know, winning a Rose Bowl. But certainly, you know, it's hard when you just think about it all across the country. Right? How many coaches really have got that elite level of validation? It's not that many. And then you know, the issues compounded in the Pac-12 by the fact that nobody's been able to get into the semifinals for, you know, 5 years, whatever it was. I mean, the conference lost a lot of coaching clout when Chris Peterson stepped down, I think. Not just, you know, how his teams did on a season-to-season or week-to-week basis, but, I mean, the guy was beating Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, what, 12, 15 years ago, right? That's a lot of clout to lose, and I think that there's you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, void at the top.
John Wilner, I appreciate you. Appreciate your work. Follow him on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to the Wilner Hotline and read him on Oregon Live, among other places. Wilner, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, my friend. Take care.
Leave it here. You got the Big Splash next. Every day on the show, we do a Big Splash. It is the one thing you need to know. Today, no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
But the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, the Pac-12 football schedule's out. You can see it. I've tweeted it. Your station that you're listening to has retweeted it. Check out the schedule. The Pac-12 fans out there who had waited while they watched the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and others release their schedules finally got a look at what's going to happen. Look, I don't think for a second that people are out there booking travel based on this schedule right now, but it also creates a sense of normalcy. It gives people something to look forward to, and it kind of means, hey, this is actually happening. And I think those are all good things. So check out the Pac-12 schedule. Don't be afraid to be hopeful. I've talked about it on this show. I think hope's a good thing. I think the dangerous parts and the dangerous things out there are people who want to put a limit to dreaming and making big plans and thinking big things and being positive about what's going on. So look at the Pac-12 schedule and imagine some fans in the stadiums as well. I'm not saying the stadiums will be full, But I won't be surprised if the Timbers and Thorns start opening sort of the lid on...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.